Hi, I'm Liz Cully, and welcome back to Cool, Cool, Cool. Each week, I give you a glimpse into what I think is cool and chat with a ton of people that are definitely cool. No topic is off bounds unless, I guess, it's not cool. Welcome to Cool, Cool, Cool. Welcome back to Cool, Cool, Cool. I'm Liz Cully, and we were going to have a celebrity interview today, but he spilled the beans on a bunch of things that he has a press embargo for, so we're going to hold it, which only means that next week will be so much better. I know that you guys gave me lots of feedback that you liked my diary episode from last year, which was pure and utter chaos. So I did just spend the last 45 minutes or so rereading many chapters, maybe you can call them, entries, diary entries from my high school days, which, let me tell you, it's completely and utterly traumatic. I was really going through some shit in high school. It makes me think about all the poor New Yorkers that suffered their first earthquake this week. I mean, as a Californian who has been through so many earthquakes, inclusive of the 1989 earthquake, which was massive and caused tons of death and destruction, maybe see the fun in an earthquake. It's a vibe. Definitely shakes things up. The reactions were pretty funny. Folks like Melissa Gorga from Real Housewives of New Jersey thinking it was a ghost. Many of the memes were hilarious. One that sticks out, my friend Renee Stubbs posted it. It was something to the effect of, if I die in a Duane Reade in an earthquake, I'm going to be pretty pissed. Which, a Duane Reade, it's almost unavoidable to not die in a Duane Reade in New York, because every corner, every in between a block, there is a Duane Reade. I have spent so many mornings like hungover to the point where I thought I was going to actually die in a Duane Reade. Usually in the West Village or in Midtown, just in that awful overhead white fluorescent light, similar to what my horrible, disgusting neighbors have installed all around their house, thinking that white fluorescent light is somehow, I don't know, outdoor lighting. Literally, my next door neighbors look like they work and live on a prison yard. I digress, but it's typically like a Diet Coke, a water, crackers, gum, Visine, and gummy bears, just to get me through, you know? The way I walk and run and quickly shuffle through New York City whilst just deathly hungover, hopefully it will be something of the past, but who knows? Last week, we talked to Comments by Celebs, which was really fun. You know, the internet is such an interesting place. We've gone viral. I don't know if you've seen this or not, for our We Natal clip on Instagram. I'm pushing 5 million views. Who knew talking about sperm metagenesis was going to be the tipping point for my virality? People are very touchy about sperm. I do have a troll that is making tons of accounts. They are pro-life and they are posting my picture all over the internet. I keep blocking them, or I would read some of the DMs, but effectively this guy is obsessed with me and he keeps posting my picture being like, Liz Cully works at Condé Nast, allegedly married. I'm like, no, I'm legally married. I'm sure you can look it up. He used my clip to talk about pro-life and why it's so important, basically using the argument of sperm metagenesis that, like, I don't know, I guess sperm are people too. I mean, it's completely deranged. And using my clip to spread his twisted, fucked up gospel. So I obviously DM'd him and I was like, you sick fuck, stop using my video. You piece of shit, you crazy anti-woman lunatic. And then he screenshot that and put that on his respective troll pages. So, you know, I might be tired and old. I don't go out to the clubs anymore, but at least I'm fighting with, you know, some crazy QAnon troll in the middle of the country. Aside from the earthquake in New York, things have been, I feel like the internet's taking a pause, perhaps. I was very happy to see that Sacha Baron Cohen keeps burying himself in his non-apologies to Rebel Wilson. Renee Stubbs, who, as you guys know, is one of my besties, interviewed Rebel in New York this week, and they talked about her new book. And Rebel did what I would 100% do as a famous person. I would call the motherfuckers out. All these famous people out here acting a fool. No. She didn't hide who he was. She didn't protect him. She motherfucking called his ass out, and now he's getting divorced. Is there a coincidence? I think so. Page Six is claiming there is no through line, no thread between Rebel and her book and calling out Sacha Baron Cohen for straight up harassing her, sexually harassing her, really, and bullying her on set. I think that is a bunch of bullshittery, if you ask me. Truly. I truly, truly do. But I love calling motherfuckers out. I really do. I had someone at work, not who I work with, but a client, say some crazy ass shit to me. And you know what? I just love being like, nah, dude. No, it's a hard pass. It's a no from me, dog. Especially when they're like in their 20s. Get the fuck out of here. I'm hanging on by a thread. You don't think I want to just quit the biz, move to a farm, play with animals? Yes, I do. That's exactly what I want to do. But alas, she works two jobs and loves her kids and never stops. You know, it's just, it's what I have to do. Which, you know, it is what it is. I'm highly in the planning for Pride, if you can believe it. It's April. I can't believe it. We're planning for Pride. And I'm going to make Pride, I'm going to make it count, you know? I'm sort of like, nah, all these gay guys, they can't just have their parade. Us lesbians, we need to have our thing. You guys know I love to throw a party. I'm going to throw a party. It's not completely set in stone, but it's pretty set in stone. But if it happens, my Pride party will be iconic this year in every which way possible. So stay tuned for that. But yeah, you know, things are moving along in life. I'm supposedly starting IVF medication in, I guess, a week. I really don't understand what's going on ever. It's so many phone calls, so many calendars, so many pre-authorizations, there we go, with insurance. It's like, it's really a full-time job, let me tell you. Takes the romance out of life as we know it. But I managed to make some merch. If you have not seen it, go on listentoliz.com. I have a t-shirt, I have a mug, and I have a sweatshirt. And some of the sweatshirt production was stalled, so I apologize if you've ordered and I haven't sent it. It's coming. But please buy my merch because I want to make more. I have so many ideas, but Rachel said I have to sell this merch because I'm not allowed to have more merch in the house until I sell said merch. Buy it for a friend. Size up. You know, I don't know. Moving right along in this chaotic solo episode. The solo episodes are tough. Taylor Strucker and I have talked about it ad nauseum. Same with Not Skinny, Not Fat. It's hard. I'm like, who am I? Who do I work off of? What do I talk about? Which luckily for you guys, I have, you know, pages and pages and pages of Dear Diary. I mean, really, truly. Oh my God, wait. This is from when I graduated. Wow, what a time. Oh my God, dried flowers. Oh, brother. But, you know, a lot of it is really intense to read about being a teenager. I hated myself so much. I was so sad. This is an interesting excerpt that I found. It's during a really kind of chaotic time in my life. I was 15. I had had my first boyfriend, not like real boyfriend, I know we've talked about Gio before, which I'm dead, which people have definitely listened to. But I ended up dating pretty much like the worst guy, worse than Gio, if you can believe it. I dated this guy named Max, and I was just helplessly in love with him. And he is a handsome guy and was a handsome guy, but he was just like, I mean, all the girls were like, he's like the bad boy. Like, I should not have been dating this guy. And the background is that he was several years older than I was. And he went to, when I went to boarding school, he went to Colorado to like a kid, like kind of like a reform school, kind of like the schools that Paris Hilton actually is trying to get shut down. And I think he left again and then was sort of like trying to work on a, I believe like a ski snowboard slope. And he totally dicked me around. I mean, really. And it was just a tumultuous time. Like, my mom had just been diagnosed with breast cancer. I was at boarding school. I was helplessly in love with a 19-year-old. I was 15. And he was definitely seeing other people. And I was really figuring this out. But I was figuring this out without a cell phone, without social media, in Massachusetts. He was in Colorado. All my friends were in San Francisco. And I was just not well. And I'd had many traumatic things happen along the way at boarding school, but this was really the first year. This was my sophomore year of high school. I went as a sophomore, and to say that I was not adjusting is an understatement. I thought that I would thrive, but I just was so angry and confused and upset. And not for nothing, like, a lot of these kids didn't have much edge, you know? They were like from Connecticut. All their families went to boarding school. I was this kid from San Francisco that was smoking weed every day and drinking and, you know, wearing my Prada and Gucci sunglasses and my Kate Spade bag and my Abercrombie jeans and my North Face puffer. And I wore a lot of MAC eyeliners, you have seen documented on my Instagram since then. And I was dealing with a ton of shit, dealing with a ton of sexual assault that had happened to me, like really trying to figure out who I was. So I found out that my mother had breast cancer, and I went to a football game. And as children, teenagers do at boarding school football games, they go into the woods and they drink alcohol. And this day, I decided to drink a ton of Captain Morgan, which I will never drink again, like spiced rum, not for me, you know? The last thing I remember was walking into those woods. And then I subsequently woke up 2 days later in the hospital. Now, what happened was is that I got alcohol poisoning and started throwing up. And the day students that I was with who had a car threw me out of a car, and I hit black ice in my head. And they left me in the parking lot. And a student at boarding school came and found me. They tried to take me back to my room and hide it, but it was pretty clear that I had a concussion and I was pretty sick. So they took me to the hospital, and I straight up woke up like a movie, like an actual movie. I woke up in the hospital, like attached, like with a fucking IV, and looked out the window and just saw a cow, like a cow in a field. And I looked around and realized that I was in the hospital. Now, this wasn't the first time I was in the hospital for alcohol poisoning, which will tell you that I was clearly struggling badly with depression and anxiety and partying with kids that were way too old for me. And I was a wreck. I was like every parent's nightmare, you know? I really was. Because I was like a good kid, but I was acting out, clearly. And I looked around and I was like, ugh. I'm in trouble. Nurse comes in. I was like, did I talk to my mom? She said, you did talk to your mom last night. I said, oh, shit. Got it. Now, my parents did not fly and come get me. They left me in that hospital. And I was in that hospital for several days. And then I went. And actually, it was pretty fucked up. One of the parents of the day students came to the hospital to try to talk me out of, trying to gaslight me and tell me that his son was never present and not driving the car, which was not true. So It was not a good time, friends. It was not a good time. I was in love with this guy who, very clearly, as I'm reading through this diary, was clearly seeing somebody else. He actually ended up cheating on me with a girl who I do talk about in this diary and having a child, which is fucking crazy. And that kid is like, I mean, she's not a kid. She's an adult. She's like 21, I think. She's like 20, 21 years old. Like, how wild is that? It's crazy. Like, what? And I ended up, oh my God, I forgot about this. I ended up like using all of my allowance and borrowing $100 from a rich girl at school to buy him a train ticket to come and see me. And he just never fucking used it. Like, guys, I'm really doing the Lord's work by sitting here trying to come up with some content and sort of regretting reading. I mean, this book is nuts. Like, I just, and it just goes on and on the span. Anyway, so I get suspended from school because I was drinking as well. The other kids get suspended. They blame me. It's like a witch hunt at school because they were, you know, big fancy football players. I go home and I am mandated to drug testing, which as a stoner, I was not very into. And I actually remember this. So I had to be drug tested for 2 months. This is like such a classic. I don't even know. I find it to be quite classic, but I had to be drug tested and I would like go in the morning, like with all the kids who were lined up to get their Ritalin and shit. I would be like lined up to drug test and it was hard. I mean, I was smoking a lot of weed back then. And I was like, fuck. And I made it to the last drug test and I didn't even drink or smoke weed, anything, but I put water in the pee. And I don't know why I did it. I mean, even to this day, I was like, what the fuck, Liz? Like, you were, the pee would have been clear, like clean. And it was crazy because there was tons of kids that were getting drug tested at boarding school. And it was a whole fucking racket. Like, kids would pee in, like, in condoms and they would keep it warm. Like, all fucked up, crazy shit. Like, truly, we would go on the internet, like, on the World Wide Web, on the dial-up and try to find, like, you know, how to, like, pills and shit to, like, have a good test. And I mean, it's just ridiculous. But I actually did the work and I was sober. And it is actually, like, it's crazy to read this diary because I was so dramatic about it. I'm like, it's been 53 days and I'm so clear-headed. Like, it's crazy. Trust me, I'm about to read you something so wild. And this is actually when I stopped smoking cigarettes, which is great because cigarettes are gross. Actually, here's the excerpt about it. I haven't smoked weed in almost 2 months. I haven't even smoked a cigarette in 23 days. I'm really trying to completely stop smoking cigs. They are gnarly. There you go. Pretty proud of myself. Anyway, so there I was and I put water in my pee like a dumbass and I don't know why I do it. And so I start to panic because I'm like, dude, if they see that it's water, whatever. So I literally do it. An hour goes by and I'm sweating in class. I'm like, what have I done? I walk back to the nurse's office and I'm like, yo, I got to admit something to you. I put water in there, which doesn't even make sense because I'm totally clean. I will take another test right now. So she let me take another test and she's like, why did you do that? And I'm like, I don't know. Like, I don't know why I panicked. I don't know. I was like, maybe. I was like, I haven't done anything since I was home. And anyway, I was a wreck. So I'm setting the scene that this was a rough time. I had been suspended. I went home. And oh, by the way, like, definitely didn't start that sobriety journey until I went home after my suspension because the suspension actually dovetailed into Thanksgiving, which was kind of fucking rad because I was home for like almost 3 weeks, which when you're at boarding school and you miss home as much as I did, that was awesome. But I obviously like smoked weed every day because my parents, oh, got suspended. You think my parents made me fucking stay home or like punished me at all? No, they did not. They just were like, we're so disappointed. I'm like, okay, whatever. I'm disappointed in you. No, I'm just kidding. But I was because they let me rot in a fucking Northampton hospital. So there you go. So anyway, where we are in this diary is that it's months later. I'm sober. It's April. Oh my God, that's so crazy. Whoa. Whoa, 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 you guys. You guys, you guys, you guys. It's April 5th, 2001. And what is today? April 5th, 2024. Wow. Damn. Damn, this is a long ass time ago too. You know what I'm saying? I keep being like, yeah, it was like 10 years ago. No, bitch, you're old. It's like 20 some odd years ago. Anyway. Wow. Crazy. Oh my God. Spooky. This is the one I decided to read because everything else is very like, I'm hopelessly in love. So anyway, so basically Max breaks up with me on New Year's Eve. I had gone back. We had had sex. He was like cold, distant. It was horrible. He was being really mean to me in hopes that I would break up with him. But obviously, because I hate myself, I wasn't going to break up with him. So earlier chapters are me going through this like awful breakup and I'm a wreck and I'm like, people don't like me at school and like I'm sober and like it's like as if I've like completed fucking AA, you know what I mean? And I titled this entry, Some Thoughts. Okay. So much pressure is put on people to be successful, to make the right decisions, to be mature, to provide for your family, to be educated, to fit the mold of society. Today, I disagree. You only live once. So much of my short time on this earth has been devoted to self-help. I have cried just way too much because of too little. The other day, I was thinking of seducing my ex because I haven't really had sex in about 8 months. I was once with the ex 3 months ago. Of course, it's not a good idea. I know this. All my love will come flooding back, and so will the tears when he hurts me again. You only live once, but today, after melting away with my tears in the rain, I want nothing to do with him. You only live once, so why live unhappily? Another reason to learn from your mistakes, I suppose. Another one of the various mistakes I have made as a troubled youth is doing drugs. Now, I'm all for recreational fun, but there comes a point. The point is when you can't feel. That is the point. You actually don't feel anything anymore. I was forced to see this point. I was forced to pee on that point and have my insides examined by my school. This could not have come at a better time. I was crushed. I was at an all-time low, not as low as my previous drug abuse, okay, but low. I'm an insecure girl, away from home with a broken heart and a discombobulated view of love. I was forced to see myself sober. What a thought. 76% of high school seniors have been drunk more than once in their high school career. Okay, obviously, I learned that in school. I feel like for the last 3 years, I have been under the influence of pot 76% of the time, probably more if I'm being honest. And until I was forced to see myself in the mirror, no makeup, no tight clothes, no glazed red eyes, I thought I was worthless. I like myself not high. I do not like myself in Massachusetts, but I like myself now. I never really thought about it before. Why? Because I never really thought about myself. Only other people's issues. So my conclusion to my tangent is you only live once. Get as much out of it as you can. Learn from your mistakes. Don't look back and don't dwell. Just look back and think for a minute. Then think a minute for tomorrow. Just live. I even signed that. Like as if it was a declaration, like the Declaration of Independence. Wow. I mean, wow is all I have to say. It, you know, between the poems and the spoken word and those declarations of, and I quote, just a thought, high school girls are just fucking something else. You know, I mean, there is nothing more dramatic, more raw, more real than a 15-year-old girl telling you that you only live once. Like, what? Wow. I just,
I mean, some of these diary. Oh, here we go. This is just a week later. Dear diary, I hooked up with this kid named Josh, and he and his girlfriend, oops, broke up because of it. Oops.
My God.
You guys. I mean, it's just, it never, this book, I mean, it's huge. It never ends. It never fucking ends. I mean, oh, turn the page. Dear diary, today I completed another rebellion. I got a tattoo. It's a little lizard right next to my vagina. So basically, I will have to be shaven for the rest of my life. Oh my God. It hurt, but not as bad as I expected. I really can't believe I did it. Okay. I'm going to close the book. I hope you heard. I hope you heard me just slam my diary. Every teenage girl should keep a diary. They really should. I can't imagine if I had social media. I know everybody says it. It's like such a Gen X, millennial, boomer thing to say. Oh, we're so lucky we didn't have social media. What would we have done? Da, 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 da. But really, truly, I don't know what I would have done. I would have been a fucking menace to society. I look at the Facebook. I mean, oh my God. I look at the Facebook memories of the shit that I used to post. And it is incredibly cringeworthy. And that's only 10 years ago. I'm taking you guys back 20 years. 20 years. And it is just, ooh, honey, it is embarrassing. Really, truly, truly, truly embarrassing. I think back 10 years ago, the internet was just such lower stakes, you know? And that's why we see people who were like racist and terrible people and misogynist and all of these things on the internet 10 years ago. I was not. I never have to worry about like being offensive in that way. Like if those things are going to come up and come back to bite me in the ass. No, 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 no. As you can hear from 15-year-old self who's telling you really only live once. I really just hated myself all the which way along and really was an oversharer on a level that just, I mean, it's just. It's truly embarrassing. Like, I mean, it's just, it's so fucking embarrassing what I was like. I was like, oh my God. You know, things like, oh, I'm hungover. Like, why need to post that on Facebook? You absolutely don't. So I feel for the teenagers. I feel for the youth. I feel for the perfectionism, the filters, the bullying at school, could you imagine if I had been writing those things in a public forum like Tumblr or some shit, and then somebody reshared those throughout the school? It would be so embarrassing. It would be wildly embarrassing. So instead, I'm just going to read them on a podcast that will live forever. So you're welcome. Please follow the Patreon, which I have definitely ignored. So I guess I'm not selling it, but I will be back in there soon. Head to my website, listentoliz.com for some merch. Follow me on all social media platforms. If you have time, give me a 5-star review. Because what other person can you trust to read their deepest, darkest secrets from when they were 15 and tell you about them? Truly, it's me. I'm the problem. It's me. But also I'm giving you some fodder. Be kind to yourself. Be nice to me. I'm just kidding, but really be nice to yourself. I was on a podcast and they said, what's like some advice? Oh, Colton Underwood. I was on Colton Underwood's podcast, which is coming out at some point. You know, The Bachelor. And he goes, what's some advice that you would like give to somebody on a journey or whatever? And I was like, dude, I don't know, but I know that I'm not very nice to myself. I wasn't nice to myself fucking 23 years ago, but be nice to yourself, be kind. Throw me some 5-star reviews, buy some merch, and thank you very much for coming to my diary reading. Thank you for coming to my slam poetry event.